Okay, so we had seen the Gemaras in Bava Basra, and we noticed how many directions that we can take the definition of Hezekiah. So let's now go back and try to pin some details down. So the first case, if you remember, that the Gemara invoked in Daf Beis Amud Beis to prove that everyone must agree that there's a case of Hezekiah was the case of what?
Gina.
The case of Gina, which the full version of that appears in Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Zayin. Right now, someone give me the basic contours of the Gemara in Bava Metzia. What is the context in which the Gemara gets into this? That's the second part. Before that, the Gemara, how does it get into that? It gives business advice. What's the advice? Right. Right. Avoid buying property that abuts a city, that's adjacent to a city. And then the Gemara invokes as the rationale, Rami. Very good. Right? It's because we say that it's forbidden for you to stand by one field and look into somebody else's field, right? To look right into their field. So therefore, you want to avoid a situation in which that is the norm. So the Gemara then says, but that's strange, because in Brachot, when we're discussing ideal property arrangements for your life, so one of the things that we think everyone would want is to be close to a city, or in modern terminology, a short commute. Right? Everyone wants a short commute. Okay? Right? As much as I love you guys, I wish that my commute was shorter. Right? Like, this morning was ridiculous. It was absurd. Like, no one should be out. But the police decided to set up two extra checkpoints to make sure everyone was keeping the seger, so it took me like an hour and a half to get here. It was a nightmare. Yeah. What? It depends. Well, this isn't really this is just making a claim that in general people want to not commute. I don't think it really matters. It's not like a Jewish thing. No one likes commuting. Commuting shortens your life. Depends. In certain areas it's Jewish, in certain areas it's not. It depends on the area of halacha, right? Meaning in this, it shouldn't be Jewish dependent, right? As long as the Jewish culture has similar standards to privacy and the like, it shouldn't matter. So here the Gemara lists a bunch of brachot, one of which is that you should have your property near your house. The others are that you should also live near shul, right? All the people who, all the people who like missed shul at the beginning, and now they're like, I can get used to this shul being in front of my house, cutting out piyutim, right? I could get used to this in future years, right? See, it's a bracha to have your shul right there. Baruch Ata Bivoecha, the Gemara understands as when you come back, return from travel, so your wife shouldn't be a suffik nida, right, which the Gemara assumes is the worst possible situation, right? Because if she's tahara, so you can be together. If she's tameya, at least you know that she's forbidden. But if she's suffik, you're not really sure she's usher, but you can't be together anyways, which just creates psychological stress. Then the Gemara says, Baruch Ata B'tzeisecha, that when you leave the city, it should be as peaceful as you came in. And then the Gemara gives another possibility, that you should always have a bathroom close to where you where you eat, because right, having a bathroom was a luxury, right? Otherwise you have to go out to the outhouse. What? Oh, not at all. It's actually a symbol of extreme wealth in the ancient world. It's one of the greatest symbols of extreme wealth. If ever we're allowed to go anywhere, we go to Ir David, you'll see that they know that it's a mansion because it has a bathroom in it, right? Because it's, right, going to an outhouse is a pain, especially at night. Yeah.
I actually, it's interesting,
camps without private bathrooms. It's like, I feel like, why are you going back thousands of years? When I went to visit Moshe Va Ennismore in Toronto, I'm just like, outside Toronto, I'm like, why? Why? They're like, no, it's more hygienic. Because then the cleaners can come more often and they can clean it. No, absolutely not. I was like, for the same reason in Chazal, they said you don't want a bathroom outside because then it's dangerous at night. I promise you that guys are not walking there in the middle of the night, and the surrounding of your bunks are contaminated, which the campers then confirmed. You know, so like, we like having bathrooms. It's important. This is very important to us. Yeah. Yeah.
So the propaganda was, in Russia they still had outhouses, and they would say, look how disgusting the Americans are, their bathrooms are inside their houses, because they didn't have the concept of the modern plumbing.
Yeah, well, an outhouse in your house is not great. Modern plumbing is like one of the world's greatest inventions. Which it really is, for many reasons. Not just convenience, but hygienically. So then the Gemara says, right, after going through some of these, the Gemara says, okay, for our purposes, what's the fundamental problem? Which is, how can you say that it's bad to have your property next to the city because people will be able to look in, and also say that it's good? So what's the Gemara's answer? Last line, Lokasha. Yonatan? What's the last line of the Gemara? What does the Gemara answer? How do you resolve the stira? Yeah, read the last line. Good, so the Gemara says very simply, the difference is whether or not there's a wall. Meaning commuting is great, right? Avoiding commuting is great, rather, as long as there isn't a cost. Right? As long as there's not a cost. If you can manage to avoid commuting and avoid the cost, so matov, right? You know, it's like, you know, the example I gave is there are a lot of people, right? A lot of people live in Manhattan because they work in Manhattan and it's convenient to not commute. The downside of living in Manhattan is it's crowded, it's dirty, it's busy, it's noisy, and it's a fortune, right? But if someone could have the best of both worlds, right? He was a multi-billionaire and had his own private estate in the middle of Central Park, right? So then matov, right? Matov. I don't even know if there are such estates in Manhattan. I really don't know. Like, even when I've been to, like, billionaires' houses in Manhattan, like, they live in, like, apartments. Big apartments, nice apartments, actual Picasso's on the wall apartments. But still, you know, like, yeah. So I don't know, meaning I don't know if this is a formal statement, right? The bracha is not really a formal statement, right? It's, you would prefer it, you know, so it's hard to figure out, is it negating it, or is it just not worth it, or not as worth it? I don't know. I don't know. Okay, so this is the Gemara that it invokes. Now, Rashi tells you that what is the reason for this visual potential damage? What does Rashi think that this is? Right? Rashi says it is. Look at 5. Asur la'adam. Ayinara. Right, shelo yafsidena be ayin hara. It shouldn't cause a problem of ayin hara. So Rashi tells you that at least this type of visual damage, the case of the gina, the people staring at your property, that's a problem of ayin hara. So now, if you remember, this was the first case that the Gemara invoked. So if you think that when the Gemara invoked this case, it was invoking it to It never rejected it fully, meaning it said, that's an extreme case of hezek ri'ah. But that doesn't prove that we always have hezek ri'ah. But once we say that we do paskin, that there's hezek ri'ah, so then you would say, that what is the rationale for hezek ri'ah? Ayin hara, shelo yafsidena. And now, coming to our next question, right, which I've brought up several times, which is, what exactly is hezekiah? Is hezekiah exactly what it sounds like, meaning damage that is caused by your eyes? Or is it a stand-in for saying, I have the right to demand privacy, and the damage isn't direct damage, it's just miniat hishtamshut, it's the prevention of use? So, if you think that it's, in this case, is it direct or indirect? Is it the damage or the prevention of use? This case. Direct, it's damage. Whatever damage Ayinara causes, it's damage. Right? And if you think that Hezekriya is based on Ayinara, then Hezekriya is damage. Right? It's damage. Yeah. Potentially. But right, when's the problem? Right? But when's really the problem? When I'm staring, or even in advance of? Remember, we saw later on, right, at the bottom of Beis Amid Beis, the Gemara was clearly talking, even when I'm not looking, it's because you might look, so I won't do what I'm going to do. So I'm not going to be damaged, but that's... And which one is Hezekiah? Yeah. Not just, is it a problem, but which one is Hezekiah? This may be something else. Yes. So, but now we got to answer the question, okay, is our Gemara, right, is Hezekiah the same as this in the Maskana? Okay, so let's look at what the Rishonim say. So look at the Rif. So Amar Lei, Rav Yehuda l'Ravin bar Rav Nachman, Ravin Achi l'Tazan Ara, Samuch l'Mata, de Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asul Adam sheyamod al Sadei Chaver b'Shah shomed l'komodem b'shum eina b'sha. Again, the Rif, like Rashi, agrees that the issue here is Ayin Hara. And as I mentioned, Ayin Hara can mean a whole lot of different things. Before we move on, though, I want to draw your attention to one more thing here, which is that in this case, what is the problem? When does the problem happen? Right, I implied this before, but all right, it was implicit what I said, but let's spell it out. When does the problem happen according to this? When does the Ayin Hara happen? When you actually stare, right? Meaning, the Gemara is, in this case, is talking about is usher to stare. It hasn't actually gotten into the question of whether you can build a property which you'd be capable of staring. It's saying you can't stare. Once you say that, right, that is the first, that's the first inkling that this might not be the same as Hezekiah, because Hezekiah isn't just it's problematic to stare, it's so problematic to stare that you have to create a situation in which that's not possible. Right? But here the Gemara is focusing on you can't stare, and maybe you want to avoid having your property there so that people won't stare. But it's not telling you that other people can't, you know, walk around your city. Yeah. Correct. What? I'm sorry. No, I... Repeat that last line. I'm not sure I agree with what you just said. Oh, the prohibition here, yes. Right? Is that you can't stare. You can't cause the damage.
It seems to come from... it depends what the damage actually caused by.
Oh, good. Very good. What it is a big sugya. I know Rami wants to do this. I don't know if we'll spend the time to do it, but really, you find the range in Rishonim from eyes, you know, rays should have your eyes, you know, Superman style, or I don't know, think of someone more sinister than Superman. I don't know. What? Does he also have rays that come out of his eyes? Okay, we went from Superman to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, sure. Okay, fine, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, great. okay. Now, the Meiri gives you a more rationalist perspective, and he says, Asol Adam Lamod Al Stei Chavir B'Shah Shomed B'Komota Shema Yishlot Ba'ayin Ara V'Yavi Atzmo Lidei Rinun HaBriot. Right, the reason is, because what is Ayin Ara? It means if you're paying too much attention to someone else's property, you might start talking about the property, you'll lead to, right, to jealousy, you'll lead to all those things. Okay. But still, according to him, Is it a direct damage, whatever ayin hara is? Is it damage?
Yeah.
It's damage, meaning it's more less direct. But clearly the problem is you're causing something. However, right, what he notes is that because it's damage, in this case, who's the onus on? The property owner. Right? The Gemara says because other people shouldn't stare at you, that should teach you that you should avoid them and not put your property right next to the city. Right? Correct. But think about what the Gemara is saying. Other people shouldn't stare, and therefore you should avoid putting your property near the border of the city. Right? So it's introducing the possibility that there's direct damage, but unlike the Hezekiah case, the onus of responsibility is given as advice rather than halacha, and to the damaged party rather than the damager. The damage, the attacker of ayin hara, is forbidden to stare, but he's not forbidden to be there, he's forbidden to stare. But the advice to avoid the damage in this case is given on the victim. So that, like I said, you read it carefully. On the one hand, it sounds sort of like Hezekiah because it's visual damage. On the other hand, the consequences of this Gemara is that is on the Nizak, right, on the damaged person rather than on the attacker, which would suggest that maybe this is slightly different, right? The focus is you can't stare, but not that you can't be in a situation where you might end up staring. You can't stare. They should avoid you. Yeah. Yes, 100%. Right, as I've said 100 times, you can say, if you distinguish, and if you think the Gemara's rejection of equating this with Hezekiah and a Chatzer is what Yonatan said, is saying no. The reason you can't prove Hezekiah b'Chatzer is because Hezekiah, in this case of staring, that's damage, in whatever sense it's damage. And that's a prohibition on you to damage someone. But Hezekiah are in cases where there isn't ayin hara, there isn't direct damage, all there is the possibility which prevents you from using it, right? And that's a different type of halacha. And therefore you would say, tzvei dinim, ayin hara is a type of a damage, right? And Hezekiah is not. And this is the question I've asked 100 times, and now you get it, right? And this is what is at stake when you say, when the Gemara rejects the equation of chatzer to gina, is that because it's making a sharp distinction like Yehonatan and saying, no, gina is about ayin hara, which is direct damage, and Hezekiah cases of chatzer is something else? Or is it saying, no, ayin hara is the rationale behind Hezekiah also, and just a difference in quantity and scope, right? In magnitude, but they're fundamentally the same. And finally, after all of this, what are you doing? Okay. So finally, after all of this, let me take you in rabbinic. Yes, Ezra. Then Ezra, yes. Yeah. It's like to stand and stare and hang out. It's not like you, because you're allowed to walk by. The point is you can't. Beautiful, beautiful pomegranates. You're like, you know, like there's a difference between someone walking by and saying, have a good day, I hope you have a good work day, a good harvest, and someone saying, you know, that one of those you call the police, one of those you don't, right? One of them is from a horror movie and one of them is not, right? Like, you know. Okay, so look at Rabbeinu Gershom. So who is Rabbeinu Gershom? Okay, let's get, I think up till now, Rashi, Riff, and Meiri we had all introduced, but now let's introduce Rabbeinu Gershom, who, if you look in your Gemara, Rabbeinu Gershom will be there with us throughout all of Bava Basra, and heads up right now, which is that, well, turn to Daf Chav Tet for a moment. You have your Gemaras? Okay, someone open to Daf Chav Tet. Only one person needs it. It's okay, Rami. Okay. So open Daf Chav Tet. Amud Aleph. And look at Rashi. What do you see there? Yes, on Daf Chav Tet, we no longer have Rashi in Bava Basra, and his grandson takes over. Right? What? The Rashbam. The Rashbam. Right? I remember when I was in Yeshiva, there's one of the Ramim, Rav Ezra Bick, has a particularly dry sense of humor. So, here, Adam, show the guys what happens in the Gemara. What? Yeah, that's the Rav Ivan. But he said, what? Right? He once, in Shir, right, he joked, he said, Lama Yesh Revach, right, Ben Rashi La Rashbam, right? Why is there a space? Why is there a space, right? If you look in the Gemara, there's a space. A literal space. Right? And he's like, because that's where Rashi's head fell, right? This is very deadpan humor, very dry, bizarre humor. But Rashi leaves us. But what we do have is Rabbeinu Gershom. Probably lost the manuscript. Rabbeinu Gershom, we have the manuscript. It's not technically Rabbeinu Gershom. It's the Beit Midrash of Rabbeinu Gershom, which is like the generations before Rashi. Because Rashi is actually building on a model. His Rebbeim in Mainz, in Germany, were writing Perushim. And Rashi is just sort of the pinnacle of this process, of a running commentary like that. But if at some point Rashbam is overwhelming to you, Rabbeinu Gershom is much shorter and clearer, I think, than Rashbam. So who is Rabbeinu Gershom Mi'or HaGola? Right, not many people get... What? He is the monogamy man. Yeah, thank you. Right, Rabbeinu Gershom Mi'or HaGola, the light of the exile. He gets quite the name. He's where is he from? What years does he live? And what does he do besides for telling everyone you can only marry one wife? You can't check him out. Yeah, who is he? What his name is Gershom, obviously. Bar Meir, I believe. Right? We're talking like 10th century. Okay? Okay. So if you look at the Perush Rabbeinu Gershom, let's read it very carefully, okay? Look at number 8. You could also open your Gemara and look at it if you would like, but it's very, very small print in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Gershom is like font 2 on the side of your Gemara. You want to show everyone, Adam, even in the huge Oz Bahadur Gemaras, you'll see that Rabbeinu Gershom is like, kazeh, it's on the side of the page, in the little print, you see it? So you can see, the reason I printed it for you is that it's not always the easiest to read. Look, Andrew, you can see, he's a... Yeah, that's Rabbeinu Gershom, is that very small print on the side of your page? So I printed it for you. So let's read Rabbeinu Gershom. Because the non-Jewish printer decided to put it that way. It's all printing question. There's no. What? Yeah. Like the Vilna Shas was, yeah. Okay. So let's look at Rabbeinu Gershom Me'or HaGola. So what does he say? So now we're bringing it back to Bava Basar Daf Beis, finally. On the comments, what does he write? Rabbeinu Gershom, Tashma, V'chein Begina Makom Shanao Ligdor. So he says, Begina Homedit Be'ir Kamairi. Remember, this was the Gemara's attempted proof that Hezekiah exists. Right? From the Gina in the city. De'ika Hezek Re'ia Sheroe Mashabachatzer Chaviro. Because there is Hezekiah in what you see from your friend. Katani v'chein begina de mechayvin oto ligdor. That by a garden we obligate you to put a fence. Alma Hezekiah shmei Hezek. So that's the havamina. That everyone agrees, right? Now let's look at the rejection. Lo, le'olam eim alecha lav shmei Hezek. V'shaini gina lav mishum the Taima, the Hezek, Re'ia. Rabbeinu Gershom is pretty clear. When the Gemara rejects the proof from Gina, is it qualifying Hezek Re'ia or saying that Ayin Hara is not Hezek Re'ia? Which one? What? The letter. Again, I'll read the lines. Shiny Gina. The garden case is different. Love Mishum, the Taima, the Hezek, Re'ia. Because it is not Hezek Re'ia. Ella. One second. Mishum de mistaklim begina to machnisim bo ayin hara. The case of gina is ayin hara. The case of hezekiah is not ayin hara. And therefore, Rabbeinu Gershom, finally, sof, right? We know that according to Rabbeinu Gershom, the way to read the Gemara is that when it says don't prove anything from gina, it's not weighing in on magnitude, It's not weighing in on a quantitative distinction, according to Rabbeinu Gershom. It's a difference in kind. There are visual damages. But the direct visual damage that we know exists is called ayin hara. That applies when you stare at somebody's dina. We don't know whether the category of hezekriya exists at all. That's what the Gemara is asking. Meaning the Gina case doesn't prove there's hezekriya. It proves there's other types of visual damage. But hezekriya is not that. It's not the case of Gina. Yeah. That was the Gemara's question. That was the Gemara's question. Remember? The Gemara from Daf Beis to Daf Gimel was, do you say that there is hezekriya? No. I'm not saying now halacha. He's saying in the Gemara, when the Gemara said you can't prove Gina to Chatzer, that was because Gina is not about Ayin Hara, and that's why even knowing Gina, it's not just that what we're left with is that there's an open question about whether hezekriya applies in a chatzer or not, but it definitely applies in Gina. The question in the Gemara was, does hezekriya exist at all? The fact that there are other visual damages was never a question, but that's not hezekriya. Right? So remember, I kept driving this point, and I said, is it that we're qualifying hezekriya, or that we're saying, no, there's a different type of visual damage that's not hezekriya? Rabbeinu Gershom is very clear. Hezekriya is not the same as what we find in the case of Gina. Gina is Ayin Hara. Right? That definitely exists. The Gemara's question was whether the category of Hezekriya exists at all. And that category of Hezekriya is not related to Ayin Hara. Okay, that's Rabbeinu Gershom. And therefore he says, Im ken kedu amart mishum da Ayin Hara mechayven ligdor begina. Vilav mishum Hezekriya. My v'chein begina. So he says, okay, well, if that's the case, that gina is about ayin hara, and hezekriya is about something else, then how in any shape, could way, shape, or form can you compare the two? So he says, the mashmo oto din atzmo shenoheg bechatzer. Oto din atzmo noheg begina. Because didn't that imply that not only are gina and chatzer similar, but they're similar because it's the same prohibition? He says, no. Bishlamu l'didi damina idi v'idi mishum hezekriya. Right, but then he pushes back, and he says, no, the v'chein begina seems to imply the opposite, and he says, this seems to be exactly the crux of the question. Okay. Now, I want to show you two achronim on Shulchan Aruch who took opposite positions, and I want to show you what this does halachically. So Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Shinai and Chen and Hilchot Nezikin, Va'afilu b'ri'ato im yesh bo hezek l'chaveru astir sur l'histakelbo. Even by looking at someone, if you're staring, right, it's forbidden. If you're going to damage someone by staring, you can't do it. L'fichach asur l'adam l'amod al stei chaveru b'shash omede b'komotav. Right, that's the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Yes? So, look first, you know what, let's switch the order here. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Ayin Chet in 11 says, V'chein asur lahazik b'riyato, you're not allowed to damage someone visually by looking, V'chayev b'dinei shamayim, and you're liable in heaven's court, im hezek hizik b'ayin mambato l'chaviro, if you damage by staring, V'kach amru chazal, asur la'adam la'amor al stei chaveiro, v'shash omedet v'komotah. And that's why Chazal said you can't stare. V'chein kol minei hezek re'ia asur. Kimo li'istakel b'mash chaveiro oseh b'veito v'chatzero. And similarly, it is asur to stare at somebody's house or chatzer. How does the Aruch HaShulchan understand the maskana of the Gemara? He says that when the Gemara rejected Gina, was it rejecting that Gina is about hezekriya? No. No. He said it was saying maybe there's a hezekriya of different degrees. But then once lemaskana we accept hezekriya, so is gina equivalent to chatzer? Yes. And even the case of bayit, which he snuck in there, which is what Gemara? Bava Basra daf samech. Does the Aruch HaShulchan equate that? Yes, he says v'chein b'veito. Meaning, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbeinu Gershom said, Ayin Hara is different than Hezek Re'iya. Aruch HaShulchan says, no, what's the maskana of the Gemara? That it's the same. That when the Gemara originally rejected Gina, it was saying there's a difference of degree, not of kind. And therefore, Lamaskana, once we say that there is Hezek Re'iya even a Chatzer, then these are equivalent halachon that carry through from Gina to Chatzer to Bayit. But look at 11, look at 10, look at the Sma. Yes. I mean, that sounds very semantic to me. They're both Hezek Re'iya, but they're totally different kinds. That's like saying they're different kinds. You could. It gets to a much. It's a much fancier model, which I'm not compelled by. You could. And I can't tell you you can't. But by Occam's razor, I would not go in that direction. It would strike me as odd. Right.
But your model for people in general is like, so I don't have to be happy here. So if I look at someone cutting spears there on the street, but just looking at someone.
Don't do that. Don't do that, please. Please. That's all I need is like lawsuits against the yeshiva. Your yeshiva guys are carrying out Hezek Re'iya experiments. They're staring at people on the street to see if they burst into flames. Yeah. Yes. Why not? I mean, it's not like laser eyes are going to burst into flames. It's laser eyes that are going to metaphysically affect something. Don't ask me how this works.
Right,
I don't know.
On?
Yeah, but if you're not in a place where people can see you, then you won't get one. But if you're not somewhere where people can see you, that's the only reason it depends on location. No, because there's a limit to it. No. It's not that. Okay. Fine. But the Aruch HaShulchan Lamaskana equates all of these. So he thinks that the way that you read these Gemaras are that the Maskana, right, that all these, the Gemara was admitting, Gina is Hezek Re'iya, the Chatzer V'Gag, that is Hezek Re'iya, they're all Hezek Re'iya. The only question in the Gemara was, what exactly is the scope of Hezek Re'iya? And once Lamaskana, we accept that Hezek Re'iya Shmei Hezek, now, these are all the same halachot. Right? And if you continue in number 12, this is the Aruch HaShulchan in Simen Kuf Nun Dalet. He says, Kaim Midlan de Hezek Re'iya Shmo Hezek. We establish that Hezek Re'iya is damaged. Durov bnei Adam makbidin. Kishacherim mabidin v'maseyem. Uvitashmisham uvimalachtam. Because most people care about people staring at what they're doing, at their work, etc. De ayin hara sholetet babatat acherim. Because ayin hara affects you. So according to Aruch HaShulchan, right, this is Kedarko. He thinks that the Gemara always assumed that Gina and everything was Hezek Re'iya. And the only question was scope. Limaskana. We say that Hezek Re'iya does apply in a Chatzer and a Bayit. Therefore, we can learn from the Gina case to everything. Rashi and the Rif say that the rationale for Hezek, for the case in Bava Metzia is Ayin Hara. So the Aruch HaShulchan therefore pulls out a very simple basic mathematical rule, which is A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. Right? Meaning, the case of Gina is about Ayin Hara. And the case of Chatzer, Limaskana, is equivalent to the case of the Gina. Hence, all Hezekria is about Ayin Hara. Right? That's the Aruch HaShulchan's equation. And he says, V'amru Chazal, V'asur la'adam, la'amod asdei chavero b'shah shomedet b'komotea. V'od darshol pasuk d'v'eisir shemimcha kol chorli z'ayin hara. V'od d'yesh harbe melachot etashmishim etzvichim tzniyud. He said there's also many things which are private. U'kishacher mabit mon'o masyayato. And when someone else looks, they prevent you from doing it. V'od kaimel and d'yesh chazaka le'ezigriya v'shir chazaka yesh machloket. Etc. And then he says, and you can make a chazaka. Okay. Now, I'll give you a hint as to why the Aruch HaShulchan, just in organization of Shulchan Aruch, seems to not be the majority position. And that is, just look at the simin numbers that I put. Right, the Aruch HaShulchan has a slight uphill battle to make the argument that he does in Shulchan Aruch, and that is, Andrew, why don't you look at the numbers for me? Take some more coffee, chocolate-covered coffee, and then, yeah. The Aruch HaShulchan equates the case of Gina to the case of Chatzer, except look at where he quotes them. The case of Gina appears in what simin in Shulchan Aruch? Shin Ayin Chet, 378. Where do the rest of the laws of Hezekiah appear in Shulchan Aruch? Kuf Nun Dalet. So the Aruch HaShulchan has to assume that, oh, they're all equivalent, and they just happen to be separated by 200 simanim in Shulchan Aruch. Don't pay attention to the fact that these were separated by 200 simanim in Shulchan Aruch. This is really one big halacha. Now, you're right. You could just say the Aruch HaShulchan is disagreeing with Shulchan Aruch, 100%. My point is that the simple read of Shulchan Aruch is unlike the Aruch HaShulchan. Right? Is that the Aruch HaShulchan simply saying the Gina case is equivalent to the Chatzer, and all the Gemara was ever doing was figuring out the scope of Hezekiah, and therefore you can always equate between all of them, and everything's about Ayin Hara, and that's all you need to know, is that Hezekiah is one big stand-in for Ayin Hara, whatever that is, and that's everything, right? The simple read of Shulchan Aruch, who separates the case of Gina from Hezekiah by 200 plus simanim, might indicate that the Shulchan Aruch disagrees with that equivalence of A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. And he just says, no, there's the prohibition of Ayin Hara, which everyone agreed to, and then there was Hezekiah, which is something else, which was subject to Machloket. And that's what the Sma says. You remember the Sma? Remember the Sma? We talked about the Sma. You don't remember the Sma. The Sma, we said, he's the same person as the Prisha, the Drisha, the Sma. Right? Prisha and Drisha is his parish on the tour. Reb Falk. Right? So he writes, look at 10, the Sma. L'fichach asur l'adam l'amod al sadei. Hadi katvu ha-tour v'mechaber hezek ri'iya ze bilshonam. V'lo naktu bishonam ahani hezek ri'iya d'siman guv nun dalet. He said, why did Shulchan Aruch not say these are Hezekiah of Kuf Nun Dalet? He said V'dochak lomar dechavanan mechaber lechavayu. It's very strange to say that the Shulchan Aruch meant to just include both of them and they're the same. De'mamashikad bereisha fiu briato asur lestakel kiven leHezekiah de'besimin Kuf Nun Dalet v'seva kadav lefichach ayri afil Hezekiah dekama b'sadeh. He said because. Right, besides for the fact they're disconnected by 200 simanim, right? In one, he says, don't look, because you will damage. And then there's Hezekiah, which, by Hezekiah, do we say don't look? No, we say, build your property in such a way that you won't end up seeing. Right, here the focus is on you looking, and by Hezekiah, the focus is on construction law. Like, how do you build your property to prevent even accidental spying. Those are two different formulations. They sound different. So he says, "De'ain halashon mashmakin," to say they're equivalent, it just doesn't sound that way. It is getting hotter, right? Because it's getting like, okay, fine, okay. I'm just like, with corona, it's always like, do I feel like I'm getting hotter? Am I getting a fever? Or is it, I'm in the Middle East, and it's now getting closer to high noon, right? As long as it's the latter, that's fine, right? So it says, "Gam betur lo katav ele hezegriya, de gamar legirsa, de amar av yuda," etc. "Bishum de shamar yemitzar asma in osa ben hezek, ele shigomoremet hezek." And now he tells you explicitly why. He says, what's the difference? The case of Gina, what's the problem? Staring. It's direct damage. And what is the problem of Hezek Re'iyah cases? Look, four lines in the bottom. Dishama Re'iyah Mitzad Atzma Ein Oseh Ben Hezek. If you accidentally see your friend doing something in the Chatzer, that's not going to cause an Ayin Hara. That's not direct damage. Why is it Aser? Ella Shegoremet Hezek. It causes indirect damage, which is Kegon shechaveru lo yase asaka bechatzer mikoach shebosh mimenu. It'll prevent you from using the field, your courtyard rather, because other people will see you. Aval ingan iser hanu mikoach shegain da aser. Obviously, it's prohibited for sure. Debaze ikel mandi amar led by alamidat chasidut. So now we have a very clear machlokas. Very clear. The Aruch HaShulchan says all of Hezek Re'iyah, Gina, Chatzer, Bayit are equivalent. They're all about Ayin Hara. They're all about seemingly direct damage. And the Sma tells you two big chidushim. And he says, first of all, no. The case of Gina is not Hezek Re'iyah. And he says, by the Gina, the problem isn't how you build. It's a problem to stare. Because that's a halacha in damage. But Hezek Re'iyah of Chatzer, Hezek Re'iyah is, according to the Sma, a misnomer. Because it's not direct damage. Direct damage, I can't stare at somebody. That's Ayin Hara. But Hezek Re'iyah for the Sma is not direct damage. What is it? It's loss of use. So for him, the controlling case is not Gina, which is the controlling case. The Gog Chatzer case, the bottom of the Gemara, which says that the problem is he won't end up using his field. So for the Sma, there's Hezek Re'iyah is about preventing other people from using their property because you might see them. Ayin Hara is that it's usher for me to actively stare at you because that's direct damage. But those are not the same, and therefore you should expect that the halachot of Gina are going to be different from the halachot of Hezek Re'iyah and a Chatzer and a Bayit, because one is about direct damage, don't stare, and the other is about don't prevent indirect damage by building in such a way that people can't fully use their property. Right? So all of this that I was banging your heads against the walls about, is this a different magnitude, or is it fundamentally different? Are they different principles? You see very clearly, right? It's in the Rishon we have to tease it out. In the Achronim, they're pretty clear. The Aruch HaShulchan just says A equals B, B equals C, A equals C, everything, Gina, Chatzer, Bayit, it's all about Ayin Hara, they're all the same. And the Sma says, no, they're separated by 200 simanim. Gina isn't about building, it's about a prohibition to damage someone by staring at them. And Hezek Re'iyah is a question of, not only am I forbidden to not stare at you, am I positively obligated to build my property in such a way to grant you privacy so I don't indirectly inconvenience you. And that's what Hezek Re'iyah is, and these are two different halachic concepts. Yes? Yeah, we could talk about the different. Yes. Yes, we could definitely do that. They're not comparable. are not comparable. The Gina case is not comparable. Oh, sorry, Sadeh. No, the Sadeh we hold is no problem at all, and Gina we hold is a super problem. They're opposites. Right, Chatzit, right? Sadeh, like a grain field, we say that there is no norm. You can't force a field. By Gina, like a garden, we say you definitely can't stare. Right? They're opposite extremes. Yeah, but they're presented in the Gemara at opposite extremes. Okay, now, if we get through all the sources, great, but there's really one source I want to show you, and if we spend one more day on the next source, that's fine. I presented here as Machlokas Aruch HaShulchan and Sma, but really, who's the first person? Not first person. There's a very important person who agrees with the Sma, which guides a lot of later halachic thinking. The Sma is, 16th century. Yes, thank you, Ezra. His name is Rav Moshe ben Maimon. Yes. The Rambam was asked our question by the Chachmei Lunel. So if you know at all about history, the Rambam had carried out a correspondence with some of the French rabbis in Lunel, which is in Provence in southern France. And they actually, everything that we've been struggling with for the last few days, the Chachmei Lunel, who are like Balei HaTosfot, were also struggling with. So they said, I don't know the answer. I don't understand the sugya. I have an idea. Let me write a letter to the Rambam and let the Rambam explain the sugya to me. Halavai, I could do that, right? I don't understand the sugya. I'll write a letter to the Rambam. I'll get a letter back. But that's what the Chachmei Lunel did. They didn't understand the sugya, so they sent a letter to the Rambam. And the Rambam was nice enough to write a letter back and explain the sugya. So we have the Rambam's letter, number 13. It's also quoted in full in the Migdal Oz, in Hilchot Shechein, in Perek Beis Alach Aleph, but this is the original. So, who wants to take the Rambam? Right, I've read you the acronym. Good, Andrew, take the Rambam. Lichachmei Lunel, right? To the sages of Lunel. Go. Has agree, all right. So here is, right, so they say, Amai Lotzarech Arba Amot. They ask a very fascinating question, okay? And they say, look, which is more obvious to the Gemara that you require, that it's Aser to stare? Gina or Chatzer? Which one's more obvious? No. In the Gemara. The Gina is the case in Bava Metzia. Don't stare. And the Chatzer is the ones in Machloket. Which one is more obvious? Gina. So they said, okay, doesn't that tell you that Gina is more extreme than Chatzer? So then why is it that La Halacha, you paskin, that between a Gina and a Gina, how big does the wall have to be? 10 tvachim, like this tall. But in Chatzer, it has to be Arama, which is like my whole cage, right? So they said, I don't understand. If Gina is more severe than Chatzer, how could it possibly be that Gina needs a shorter wall than a Chatzer? Doesn't make any sense. So now, answer the question. Tell me the answer. Ezra, give me the answer. What's the Rambam going to answer? What is the assumption of the Chachmei Lunel? And what is the Rambam going to answer? The assumption of the Chachmei Lunel is they're all Hezekriya. So if Gina is an obvious case of Hezekriya and Chatzer is a Suffolk case of Hezekriya, so then Gina must be more Machmir than Chatzer. And what's the possible defense? Their difference in kind. By Gina, we tell you can't stare. Because staring is more machmir. But To prevent staring, you only need a minimal wall. It's not that there's no problem in seeing, there's a problem in staring, because you're going to cause an ayin hara. But hezekriya is about preventing usage, which is less machmir, but there we're concerned even about incidental sight. Correct, but what do you need? What basically, to not cause an ayin hara, which is only caused by intentional staring, so there, you don't need to prevent sight, incidental sight, because incidental sight doesn't cause an ayin hara. It's only staring. So, yes, if I choose to stare at you, it's worse than happening to see you in a chatzer. But I don't need as high a wall because I'm not trying to prevent incidental sight. I'm trying to prevent direct damage by staring. But once you paskin that hezekriya shmei hezek by chatzer, you're saying we want to avoid inconveniencing you because you'll have to maintain privacy, and that's even because of incidental sight. And therefore, yes, staring is worse than incidentally seeing you, but the categories are different. And therefore, even though gida is more machmir, that's because staring is worse than happening to see. But what you need is categorically different, because the case of gina is about ayin hara, so we need to prevent you from staring, which requires less of a separation. And once you say hezekriya shmei hezek, meaning you have the right to privacy, so you're allowed to engage in private things, and therefore you can't even have incidental intrusions of privacy, in that case, you need arba amot. So the Chachmei Lunel didn't understand the sugya because they assumed that it's all about hezekriya, in which case gina is higher on the totem pole than chatzer, must need a higher wall. And the Rambam's going to respond, no, lumaskana, they're different in kind. And therefore, yes, staring is worse than happening to see. But in practice, the way you prevent staring is a nominal, right? Think about it. In your front yard, right? Right? Does everyone's fence, right, goes so that you can't possibly, if you wanted to, see through the window? No, like you put up a fence and most people, you happen to see them, you wave hello, that's fine. You don't care if people happen to see you, but if someone was staring by your fence, which is up to here, and just staring, right, you get disturbed, right? But in your house where you don't want someone to see you even, right, in your right, in the shower, right, you don't want a window that's open to the public even that they might happen to see, right? Yes, Ezra. Say it again. This is not a halachic wall, this is a real wall. No. No, it's not like... No. No, a levud wall will not stop ayin hara. I don't know why. You can say whatever you want, but no. So look, now you continue in the Rambam. They say to him, now they get a little bit poetic, and they say, Yorenu, Morenu, right? Guys, if you want to appreciate medieval poetry and how you should start writing letters clearly, right? This is how they finish their letter, which is, teach us, our teacher, our genius, Kitzmeim anachnu lechuvato, we are parched and thirsty for your response. Ka'ayel taro galafike mayim. Right? Quoting the pasuk in Tehillim. Like a deer that is thirsting for water. Right? Meaning, right? Please, Rambam, answer us. We are waiting. Nothing would make us happier than getting your answer. Okay, well, I think we'll only get through the Rambam today because I want to give you guys a few minutes break before the tefillah class. So he says, tshuva. And the Rambam, by the way, the Rambam isn't nice in his answer. Just be warned. First sentence, yes? All right, he said, people as smart as you shouldn't even have bothered asking that question. That's how he prefaces. Meaning, bad question. Bad. You didn't think about this before you sent that letter, now did you? Right? Right? And why? He says, V'chi... He says, aha, said, let me explain it to you. You know the case of Gina? That's not even halacha. That is midat chasidut. The case of not staring is bad, but it's only midat chasidut. It's not enforceable. It's really not right, because you're going to cause an ayin hara. But it's only midat chasidut. Right? And therefore, it's only midat chasidut. It's really bad if you do it, but like it's bad between you and God. Right? And therefore, you need a minimal wall. But hezegriya, once we paskin that hezegriya is usser, it is law. And therefore, he goes farther than the Smai. He says, not only is different, but guess what? You thought that Gina was worse? No. Gina is worse ethically and morally, right? Because you're staring at somebody. But it's not a legal category at all. It's just midat chasidut. You shouldn't stare because that's really bad. You're going to cause ayin hara. But is it enforceable in court? No, because what the heck is an ayin hara? I don't know. But hezek ri'iya, once we decide that you can't impinge on somebody's privacy in their private and semi-private spaces, once we paskin hezegriya as hezegriya, it's law, and therefore it's enforceable in a greater degree. So guys, right, when I said there's a difference, right, the Sma says, oh, they're different. The Rambam says, yeah, you know how different they are? One of them is limaskana, law, and the other is not. The other is midat chasidut. The case of Ginav, not causing ayin hara, sure, if you cause an ayin hara, it's really bad, but it's metaphysical, it is whatever it is, right? It's not enforceable in court. And therefore, its standards are lower, ironically. Hezek ri'iya, what we call hezek ri'iya, once we paskin hezek ri'iya shmei hezek, is even though the direct damage is minimal, right, at any given time, the cumulative damage to my lifestyle is greater, and that's why it's actionable, that's why it's enforceable in court, and that's why the wall is 4 amot and not 10 tvachim. So the Rambam tells you, not only are these different, right? One is law and one is not. Right? That's how different these are. Yeah, Yonatan.
Why do we need to build a wall at all?
What?
Why is there a wall at all?
So he's saying because you should avoid it, right? So you put a short wall, a symbolic something, right? Because there are things that bidei shamayim, right? God wants you to do it. He's just not enforceable in a court of law. You should do it. For sure, you should do it. Right? He says, it's midat chasidurim shelo yayin bo bayin ara v'oto ashini shuni ba'almu. And he said, what's the difference? And at the end of the day, he says, the reason is because in Chatzer you live. And therefore, it's important to maintain privacy. And in Gina, you don't live. And therefore, I don't have to grant you privacy, I just can't. Yeah, I can't stare at you. Right? And therefore, to prevent that, all I need is... Right, because, and now the Rambam gives you a hint of what it'll be, is because as long as there's a little bit of a wall, what does it do? It makes it that, yeah, he says that if someone is staring too long, and there's a little bit of a wall, people will start thinking you're a thief, right? It gives you fair warning, right? It'll make sure that you get rid of the person, right? If it's an open field, they'll say, oh, I didn't know, I thought it was a park, I thought it was an ownerless field, right? I was staring because, like, I like nature. As soon as you put even a symbolic 10 drachm thing, people will say, oh, this is private property. By Gina, that's all you need to acknowledge that it's private property. And he said, therefore, they tell you, don't buy near the ear. Came into Efshiru Yuzak Ayidei. Sorry. I just skipped. And he says, in the end of the day, I don't even think that's really about ayin hara. I think it's really more about shalit pas keganav. Right? Really, the reason you shouldn't stare, it has nothing to do with ayin hara lamaskana. Right? He says, the havamina was ayin hara, but he thinks lamaskana, I think the reason you can't stare is because people will think you're a thief. Right? And for that, again, all you need is a minimal wall. Right? Because then no one's coming in. But in your private property, what are we worried about? Hezekiah. Okay. So the Rambam answers very, very strongly. We'll end with this for now. Is that the maskana for him was that the gina? Not only la maskana is it different in kind, but the havamina was that it was worse than Hezekiah. But that was only a havamina, that it was about ayin hara. La maskana it's a midas chasidus, so that people shouldn't stare, you shouldn't seem like a thief, and therefore it's very low standards. Only put it at ten tvachim. Who cares? Hezekiah is an enforceable obligation to give other people privacy, and that needs four amot. So not only these different, not only do they have different motivations, but one is law, one is not. And lamaskana, which is worse? The one we weren't sure existed. Right? Right? So much the maskana is that gina is actually the one which was obvious that it existed, is actually not as bad as Hezekiah. Because once we decide there is Hezekiah, it's enforceable by law. In the gina case, you shouldn't stare, but that's a midas chasidus. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan equates through all, says it's ayin hara. The Rambam says, no, they're not equivalent. Gina is havamina about ayin hara, maskanet shlo, that you shouldn't seem like a thief, but all that is midas chasidut. It has nothing to do with Hezekiah, which is about the obligation to grant people privacy and not cause them to lose usage of their space. Right, so the Rambam is pretty clear in his right division between the two. Okay, next time we will finish up these. Try to see the Yad David if you get a chance. But so far what we've seen is the Rambam. So far we've seen Rabbeinu Gershom, Aruch HaShulchan who thinks it's all about Ayin Hara. The Rambam who says Gina is about not being a thief and seeming like a thief. Hezekiah is enforceable and it's law and not midah chasidut. The Sma clarifies that Ayin Hara is about damage and Hezekiah is about miniat hishtamshut. Right? But we're going to see that the Rashba and the Ramban are going to say, you haven't heard the whole story because what have you not done yet? The Rambam, the Sma, and the Aruch HaShulchan brought into conversation Bava Metzia Kuv Zayin and Bava Basra Dav Beis. But what are the Rashba and the Ramban going to tell you? That's only half the story. You forgot to bring in Bava Basra Dav Samach. What about the Pasuk from Bill, right? We're not done yet. You've only started the discussion. There's more to do. Right? And then they're going to go in Ezra's direction and say Hezekiah itself is, especially in the Ramban, has three different types of Yisurim that all get called Hezekiah. Ezra is going to be mechavin to the Ramban. Yes, I pushed you away many times, but you'll see the Ramban basically goes in your direction. Today we saw the people who are very smooth. The Ramban is going to be the one who says, no, this is not complicated enough yet, right? You have to integrate more sugya before you fully understand. Okay? Good.